rather than do more teaching or anything like that, we thought we would leave you. You have those, Robbie, you have those sheets, right? We're going to pass out little sheets of paper. It's something that Sandeep and I talked about and decided just this morning we'd like to do. What these are 10 little statements that we formulated based on questions you all have asked us, and things that stood out for me and for him during this time, these 2 days together, both in our own teaching and in conversations we had with all of you, questions you asked us. Some of these have already been covered during the question and answer sessions. So for the next, it'll only take us 10 or 15 minutes, I think. We will go through these, and each of us will talk about the one that we picked, and maybe look at the reference or whatever, just to explain to you so that you can understand what we mean by that one sentence. And we try to make it as short as possible so that it could fit on one page.
The first one I wrote down was, stop right now. You can keep this in your Bible. Maybe it's 3 weeks from now. Maybe you keep it in your wallet or your purse and you take it out. And then the first thing I'd ask you is to stop right now. Stop whatever you're doing. Picture this. Imagine this. When you're coming to God, that when I come to God, He's rejoicing over me with shouts of joy. You have to imagine that. You have to imagine the Father running down, tears streaming down His face to meet you, shouting with joy. Before you do anything else, imagine that picture. Then you're ready to talk to God. The next one is also something I wrote. This is one of my dad's quotes that I blatantly stole. The only thing serious in life is sin. Not the job that you just lost. Not the proposal that just broke up. Not the degree that is not going anywhere. Nothing is serious. Not the cancer. Spiritual cancer, very serious. Physical cancer, not that serious compared to sin. This is a good exercise for us to practice. I'm sorry, let's read the verse. I'll read the first one. Zephaniah 3:17. You don't have to turn there, but I think it's the third or fourth book from the back of the Old Testament. Malachi, Zechariah, Haggai, Zephaniah. It says, the Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exult over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. This is a verse, if you've been coming to CFC for probably even a year, you've heard. The other one was Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. The reason why the only thing serious is sin is because that's the only reason why Jesus came to this earth. That's the real reason Jesus came to this earth, to save us, not from our cancer, not from lost jobs, not from broken proposals, but from sin. And you shall name his name Jesus, and she will bear a son, verse 21 it says. And you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. We heard this morning about how to be filled and to be full of his Holy Spirit. That's that third point. Stay humble. 1 Peter 5:5. You can look at that verse. God gives his grace to the humble, the second half of that verse. And we know that grace, Romans 6:14, allows us to have mastery over sin. So you put the two of them together and you know that staying humble will give you the victory over sin, that you want the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not to do miracles but to overcome sin. Staying humble is that. That's the verse for that. Honesty is Luke chapter 8 verse 15. It talks about the soil being fertile. In Luke chapter 8, that's the parable of the sower. And he talks about the good ground, which is able to bear fruit. We want to bear the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. In order to bear fruit, these are the ones who are the seed who fell on the good ground. These are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart. That good heart that is just honest. And if you hold it fast, it'll bear fruit with perseverance. And the last one was hungry for God. Matthew 5 verse 6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and they shall be satisfied. When we have a hunger, It's also connected with John chapter 7, verse 37, when in the last day of the feast, Jesus stood up and said, if any of you thirst or hunger, whatever the word you want to use, if you have that craving for God, even after you've celebrated God and had a feast for 7 days, after you've come to the conference and you've gone and you still crave for God, he who believes in me from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Hunger, even after the conference, go home and maintain the hunger, and you will always be full of the Holy Spirit.
The reason we have you turning to these verses is because it's a good habit, and I want to encourage you something I've heard my dad encourage me when I was young. When you hear in a message somebody refer to a verse, turn to it. Get in the habit of looking at every verse. And you'll be amazed, just by doing that, you will learn very quickly so much of God's Word. So whenever you see a verse, maybe somebody refers to a verse, or you see a verse on a calendar, maybe it's just the reference, and you say, I don't know what that verse says. As soon as possible, go find it, and you will get to know God's Word. Very easy way to learn God's Word. So when you're sitting in the meetings, try to turn to every single reference that anybody ever uses. You will learn God's Word. John chapter 14, we looked at this during the question and answer time. John 14 verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. This is how you know whether you have left your first love, you're not keeping his commandments. This is how you know that you still have the first love. Very simple, you're obeying. And so, your feelings must never be your guide. Instead, assess, that means find out how much you love God by how much you obey him. John 14, verse 15.
The next one was mine again. This is God's 100% guarantee. We can handle every single trial that comes our way with the help of the Holy Spirit. We can. There's no such thing, and then it just got too difficult for me, and that's why I fell into sin. It just was one after the other. These women kept harassing me. Finally, I gave in. These boys kept harassing me. Finally, I gave in and I started dating them. No such thing. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such is common to man. God is faithful. Paul didn't have to put in there that God is faithful, but he puts in there to let you know, just in case you're wondering, God is the one who's in charge of these trials that are coming your way. He's watching everyone. He's faithfully checking every single that comes by your way. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. A. B. Will also with the temptation provide a way of escape so that you may be able to endure it.
I'd like to add a little comment on that. Something I was sharing with somebody earlier before this meeting. I've always thought about this verse, and I hope this word picture will help you as well. When it says that he will always make a way of escape in every situation. We don't have it in this room, but in many rooms in the US and other countries, you'll see that the closest door, the door will have a sign over it saying exit. And that light will always stay on. So if there's an earthquake or the power goes out and some fire in the building, the light of the exit will stay on. And you know that's the way to get out of there. Because when it's dark, you may not remember where was the door. If you travel by plane, they'll tell you, always know where the door is so that if there's an emergency, you can get out. And that's what I think of in this verse. In every situation, God has made an exit. There's a way to get out of it. And if you're seeking for that exit, for that door, if it's a temptation, he will show you where it is. And sometimes, you know, the conversation I was having was when you're with your college mates and maybe the conversation is okay, but then the conversation starts to get a little dirty or inappropriate or sinful. And you think, how am I going to get out of this? Your cry should be, Lord, 1 Corinthians 10:13 is true. You won't tempt me more than I'm able to bear. This conversation is dishonoring to you. They're making some dirty jokes. What's the exit? Where's the door? And the door may be as simple as, I need to go to the toilet. I need to go to the bathroom. I need to make a phone call. And maybe you have to pretend that you're making a phone call to go. Maybe pretend that you got a call suddenly. It could be something as simple as that, but that is your exit. Because God sees your heart, that you don't want to dishonor him. You don't want to be a part of a conversation. And you find when you take that exit sign and you have this imaginary phone call conversation, perhaps somebody sitting in that group will notice every time we talk about these things, he gets up and leaves. He gets a phone call suddenly. Every time we bring up this one conversation about girls, he seems to get a phone call. Every time we start talking about boys, she has to go to the bathroom. And they might be interested and ask you, hey, what is this? And you can witness to them and say, you know, actually, I don't like that conversation. It dishonors the God I worship. The exit sign was as simple as, I have to go to the bathroom. I have to take a phone call. Look for that exit sign. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I, put your name there, have been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live. That means I have died. But Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. I already talked about it earlier, that when temptation comes knocking, when your old friends come knocking, remember this, you're not alive anymore, you died. So in every situation, remember that people are not dealing with you, but with Jesus living in your flesh. If you're born again, that is true. The next one is also mine, one page over, Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. When the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that he might redeem those who were under the law, that he might receive the adoption as sons. And that's you and I. And we receive the adoption of sons only because Jesus was willing to wait until the fullness of the Father's time. And if you want, and Jesus is our perfect example, he lived the perfect life. And if you want to live the perfect life of Christ in your life, wait for the Father's fullness in every situation. Wait for him to open that door for you. So, always wait on the fullness of God's time, and then he will accomplish his perfect will in your life. And that doesn't matter if your past is broken or hurtful and full of sin. From today onwards, today is the day of salvation. If you decide to live this way, always waiting on the fullness of God's time, he will accomplish his perfect will in your life. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And this is the part, the next part is what I want you to focus on. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Again, I talked about it this morning. When you find the little gaps of time in your day, it may be 2 minutes here, 3 minutes there, 1 minute here, 10 minutes while you're riding your scooter to work, 30 minutes while you're riding the bus somewhere. Maybe you're riding the train and you're just sitting there looking out. And you can be looking at things outside, but what is happening in your thought life, that's what I want you to pay attention to. Pay attention, seek to fill the little gaps of time in your day with thoughts of Jesus. Do you know how to spend, let me see, half an hour a day in prayer? If I asked you how to spend half an hour a day in prayer, every day, at least half an hour in prayer. You know an easy way to do that? Every hour, spend 2 minutes in prayer. Let's say you sleep for 8 hours. That gives you 16 hours that you're awake. 16 hours that you're awake. In those 16 hours, if every hour, you just spend 2 minutes in prayer. Your 2 minutes. I think any one of us can find 2 minutes every hour. 2 minutes that you just did something. You don't even remember. 2 minutes you were just looking around. You take those 2 minutes and fill it with prayer. At the end of the day, you will have spent half an hour in prayer. You can start with that. And then maybe God allows you to build from that. It's an easy way to spend half an hour in prayer is give God 2 minutes of every hour in your 16 hours that you're awake. And if you're awake for more than that, give him more. But that's a simple way. So seek to fill the gaps of time in your day with thoughts of Jesus. Okay, the next one is also mine. This is a very, very practical application. Revelation chapter 1. And again, I want to tell you, I believe all of these are exhortations, words of encouragement that both Sandeep and I we've been trying to actually do it. And these are things I'm honest, I actually try to do that. I try to grab the little times of day when I'm not thinking about anything, think about Jesus. And this next one is also one I've learned to practice in my life. Revelation chapter 1, verse 11. God was about to give John, Jesus was about to give John this amazing revelation of him. About the future, yes, but primarily about Jesus. And he says, at the very beginning, he says, write in a book. Write in a book what you see. And then he repeats it in verse 19. Write therefore the things which you have seen. So he says, John, get a book. I spoke to you something. Don't just store it in your memory because you'll forget. So he said, write it in a book so that you can reveal it to others. So that you can share that revelation. So carry a pocketbook in your pocket. A little pocketbook, maybe the size of that pocketbook or a little smaller. Put it in your pocket. Take it with you wherever you go. And as God speaks little thoughts to you, write it down. Write it down. Maybe God gives you a verse or God puts some thought into your mind. Write it down. I'll tell you later on, it will be a source of richness to you and to others. Because let's say some Wednesday meeting, you come to the weekday meeting of the church and suddenly the elder brother says, hey, brother, do you have a word of encouragement to share? Sister, do you have a word of encouragement to share for 1 minute? And you say, yes, I do actually. You don't have to go back and prepare a sermon. You'll say, God spoke something to me this week. You get your little pocketbook out and say, let me share with you something God revealed to me. Otherwise, you sit there and think, man, I know God said something. What was that verse again? And then by the time the opportunity is lost, write it down. And then when you're called and asked to share something with somebody else, you'll have it ready. Peter talks about having a defense ready to give a defense of the faith and the hope that you have in you. One easy way to have it is to write it down. So carry a little pocketbook, brother or sister, put it in your purse, put it in your wallet, in your pocket. When God puts a thought in your mind, write it down. He will bless you, first of all, through it and bless others. So carry a pocket notebook with you to write down the revelation that God gives you.
Last one is mine. Always stay close to Jesus. Is there any better place you can ever be? It's one of the ways whenever I'm meeting people and I'm saying goodbye to them, I often tell them this, brothers and sisters in the Lord, I tell them, stay close to Jesus. Jesus will help us with all of our problems. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. As a guarantee, stay close to Jesus. Come closer to him, and he'll give you rest. Well, but I've sinned so much. I'm so filthy. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 and 16. This is other verses that we know. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are. The only difference is he didn't sin, but he can sympathize with our weaknesses. Let us therefore draw with confidence to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy. You want to get mercy when some things have not gone right and you have messed up. With confidence, approach the throne of grace. We must practice this to always stay close to Jesus. Whether you've messed up, whether you've squandered your entire inheritance, no matter what, come to your senses and stay close to the Father's house. Come home. Always stay close to Jesus. You can tell me that if you can tell me a better place to be, you can scratch this one out and write that one instead. That's it for me.
I just want to thank you all, dear brothers and sisters, for how you have blessed my heart and encouraged me. I feel like even though I did some of the teaching and speaking, and you heard my voice, maybe our voices more than others, I feel filled up because of the fellowship I've experienced with you all. Our lives may seem different outwardly. I'm in another part of the world and you are in India, but our situations are the same. The battles that I am going through, you're going through as well. And we're all going through. Let's encourage each other. This is the only life worth living. I have decided, like Sandeep just shared earlier, to devote my life to this because I don't want to have any regret when I stand at the judgment seat of Christ. I don't want to have any regret. And that doesn't matter how bad my past is. I want to stand there and be able to hear from my Savior, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You took it seriously." And you can do that from your young age, from your youth. I wish, growing up in CFC, I had taken seriously the same things that we have shared with you, others have shared with us when we were your age. And by God's grace, He protected us. But I look back and I wish I had taken it more seriously. And I hope you will take it more seriously than I did. And God will use you in a far greater way than He has used us, to greater things, to do greater works, because He needs that. India needs that. And may God use you. But above all, the way to get there, to be used by God, is to learn to worship Him. Worship Him, worship Him, worship Him. Be devoted to Him. Focus on God and your devotion to Him, and He will take care of using you. Don't be so excited about going out and being used by God in this or that or this or that. Worship Him. Focus on Jesus. Set your eyes on Him and spend time devoted in worship to God, and see if He doesn't give you the most amazing, wonderful life imaginable.
Yes, I'm also deeply thankful to be here once again. I'm able to speak this last year, this year, except last year where I couldn't even speak. So I appreciate the opportunity once again. I have one final thought. I feel like speak plainly to you. I feel it is embarrassing when an elder brother who's maybe twice our age has more passion and energy for the Lord than us young people. And I remember Brother Newton, when I was a child, he had a passion for God. I'm 30 years older. He's 30 years older. He still has a passion for God. But we are struggling to have a passion and a boldness for God. So I wanted to leave that word with you. We all must be humble. But humility doesn't mean lack of boldness. And boldness is not to correct other people. It's when I see a snake coming in through that door, the bold people is the one who'll grab a broom or grab a mat or grab something and drive that snake out. We want the 60-year-olds to do that, or will the young people do it? Will we who are full of, what is the word, jat? What's the word we use? Will we who are full of strength be the ones to rush and be like, no, old brothers, you sit down. I'm going to drive that snake out. I'm the one full of energy. That's what us young people to be. I named my son Caleb because I wanted him to have the spirit of Caleb, who, like Joshua, said, "I will not let those giants rule." It was not false humility. He was a humble man, but he would not stand to see the enemies of Jesus Christ and the enemies of God stand in the land that was promised to them. And he took a sword and he said, "I'll fight them out. We can do it." It was the faith of David that said, "I'll take a stone. That's all I need. I don't care if the Goliath is 10 feet tall. I'll hit him." Us young people need to have that passion for the Lord coupled with humility. So I hope that there'll be a fire burning inside of us which will grow up as we submit to the elders. They'll correct our mistakes, but don't let it stamp out the fire. They don't want to stamp out the fire. They just want to nurture it so that it doesn't go and burn other people up. So submit under the correction of your elders, but keep the fire burning. Drive the snakes out. It's your turn now. You're the 20-year-olds, you're the 30-year-olds, you have to grab the brooms and drive the snakes of consumerism and emotionalism and materialism or whatever else out of the church. It's our turn now. Let's bow before God. Father, we thank You, we love You. Thank You for this wonderful body of believers in a country that is worshipping so many idols, maybe the most of any country, that You have chosen a remnant, a group of people who love You, and who You've revealed the greatest truths to. Thank You for each brother and sister here, that You have selected them, hand-picked them to hear these truths. May we live our lives with boldness and humility and responsibility and courage. Help us to be bold against the devil. Let us drive the snakes out of the church. Help us to keep holiness in front of us. Help us to be faithful. Lord, help us to submit to our elders. Give us much faith as we leave, Lord, believing that You will complete the work that You started. And as we are humble and as we're honest and as we hunger for You, can always remain full of the Holy Spirit. Thank You, Lord, for this conference. Thanks for everybody who had a hand in preparing it. and working tirelessly to make this such a smooth conference. Bless them mightily. Store up treasures for them in heaven, Lord, for their toils. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.